This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
And welcome to Channel F. I'm your host, Merritt Kay, and joining me this week, we have an incredible panel, a star-studded cast for you. In this new, rebooted Channel F format, we have, joining us today, first of all, the name of the person who is on the panel here, which I'm about to say, is Steven Strom, managing editor of fanbyte.com.
Hello, I'm rebooted and refreshed, like Bob.
You tapped the button on your chest twice and said reboot.
Mm-hmm. And here I am.
You turned into a Cubix. What's that?
Don't answer. The sequel to Reboot. Okay. Cubix. Not a lot of people know that.
Yeah.
You showed me a trailer of that.
I did.
And that voice, of course, is Fanbyte feature contributor.
Yeah.
Funke Joseph.
Hey, I have risen from the grave. I'm back once again. I wanted to say shout out to animals. It's World Animal Day.
And you know what? Shout out to you and me and Steven and everyone, because we're all animals. So it's kind of like our day.
That's true.
It's sort of a day for us too.
It's like a birthday. Happy birthday, everyone.
Yeah, happy birthday, everyone. All animals were born on this day, as we all know. And last but certainly not least, we have Fanbyte. What's your title, Mike?
Staff writer.
I asked this last week, too, and it just flew out of my brain. Staff writer, Mike Williams.
Hello, folks. How's everybody doing today?
Well, nice. I'm having a great World Animal Day. How are you?
Yeah.
I'm having a great World Animal Day because I have three animals. So,
like a mongoose, snake, and giraffe.
No, sadly, they're all cats.
Well, it's probably a less like dangerous combination than a mongoose, a snake, and a giraffe.
You should get a giraffe then.
No, but the giraffe keeps the peace between the warring factions of the mongoose and the snake. So. It kind of keeps the whole situation in balance, you know, but
I imagine the giraffe also uses them like scarves when the giraffe is cold.
Yeah, they just chill on the giraffe's neck. See, it's great. World Animal Day, however you celebrate, have a great World Animal Day. And welcome once again to Channel F. It's a podcast that we do here at the Fanbyte website called Fanbyte. And each week we have three very special guests on who are all members of the Fanbyte family, and I'm gonna make them do some stuff because I don't know, I can. Who's gonna stop me? Nobody.
Because you have an M16 and are pointing it at us and say, do this for me or else.
Because what you don't know is that Mike, Steven, and Funke have all just woken up in a saw trap. And now,
Squid Game 2.
Squid Game is trending, so we're doing a Squid Game, I hope you guys are ready because it's gonna get wild. It's gonna get wet and wild. The first three rows will get wet, so handed out ponchos to the audience. But
yeah, I hope you guys are ready because I am definitely that guy in like Battle Royale and what's it called that just goes ham. I'm the dude in the zombie movie that gets bit and hides it.
Why
would you want to be that?
No, Mike, here's the thing, Mike. I already know you're lying because I watch every year. You're going through it right now. Your October movie watching fest. And every single time you tweet about those movies, all you talk about is how you simply would not find yourself in these situations. You would be the person in the zombie movie who's just like, I'm good, actually, and just fuck off into the woods away from society forever.
That is true. That is true. I was watching the Fear Street movies, and I got very angry that we're going to trade one person's life, and then like three people died after that. I was like, fuck that one person.
Yeah, you knew you called it exactly in that Twitter thread. What was yeah,
just happened? Just ruthless utilitarianism will get us through this. Mm-hmm. And speaking of ruthlessness, I'm going to give you guys points for various things throughout the show. And yes. Whoever has the most points at the end of the show will get a prize. And whoever has the fewest points, well, no, nothing's going to happen to you. I'm not going to make some joke about how first prize is a car, second prize is some steak knives, third prize is you're fired. Because I don't have that power. And why would I want to fire you anyway?
I'm not going to do anything bad to you shirt is raising a lot of questions. I'm already answered by my shirt.
Don't fear me. Don't fear me. That's my favorite thing in horror movies. When people are like, don't fear me. Do not fear me. I'm like, I'm going to fear you more now. Or like if an angel is like, do not fear. I'm like, why are you, of course I'm fearing you. Anyway, let's kick things off with something that I call the fanboy quiz. This is for Funky and Mike specifically. Steven is probably going to know the answers to a lot of these, so I'm going to ask them to not shout out the answers. Just a little quick quiz because I figured, you know, Funky and Mike, you guys are both y'all are both newer to Fanbyte, and there's some lore. There's some Fanbyte lore that I'm trying to establish. I want to really build this into a media franchise that people are like writing wikis about. So
I'm excited.
Yeah. So, feel free to just, I guess, shout out the answer if you think you know it. But if you get it wrong, then, you know, the other person will have a chance to see.
I've seen some of the scrolls.
Okay. Yeah. So you've read some of the lore books. Okay.
Yes. I think I'm prepared.
Mike, are you a lore person in games? Do you read the lore books?
I'm a horrible lore person in games. I'm the Star Wars Extended Universe. I'm the guy who buys World of Warcraft and Diablo novels. Like,
great. Yeah. Great. Great. First question is, what was the name of Fanbyte's short-lived live games / Destiny podcast?
Beep.
Yeah, Funky.
Numbers go up.
That is correct. And I would have accepted Good Morning EDZ. So I will give you a point for that. So this one is timely. I just started playing Bloodborne on stream. Merit Souls is back. And it's the most wonderful time of the year. And of course, we all love Glizabeth, who is our character that we're playing as. Now, can you name one of the other three characters from Merit Soul Streams?
Beep. Who is Farfield?
Farfield was the protagonist of Dark Souls 2. but yes, you're correct. Farfield is correct. I would have. Mike, can you name one?
Do you want to take a guess?
Theodis the boldest.
Okay, so I think I'm actually going to accept your combination of like some size and grunts and like proper nouns as correct, because we are talking about Dark Souls. So so I am going to give you a point for that. Yeah, the other ones are Bronald and Swishmail.
Oh, I remember Swishmail.
All right, just a couple more. Fanbyte celebrates which birthday this month? How many years old does Fanbyte turn?
I'm going to say, I don't know how old.
Yeah.
John? Is John's birthday? No, John's birthday already happened. Never mind, I lost.
are you talking about the
website Fanbyte. The website Fanbyte.
How old are we?
How old does fanbyte.com turn this month?
Five.
You'll lose points if you get it wrong. That's correct. That is correct. Okay. Uh-huh. Fanbyte turns
you are
three.
Blazing.
Three on October 31st. So happy Halloween, everybody.
Also, thank you, Stephen. You can't see me because we're recording audio, but my eyes are blue, and it's not me that's reading these out.
Right.
It's the scrolls.
I also can't see you because you are John Cena.
You've been possessed by the scrolls. I see. That's an occupational hazard, though. So you knew about that when you signed up.
I know.
Fanbyte's Twitch mascot is often known as Fanbot. It's a little robot with an F on its head. What's Fanbot's real name?
Johnny Five.
That's fire.
That would be good.
I'm gonna go with I don't know.
It has been revealed.
I don't know if it's the same person playing a different character or if they're both the same person, but I'm gonna go with Fancy.
That's correct.
The sentient robot.
Fancy, okay. The robot who can feel and think. That is correct. Fanbot is their occupation, and Fancy is her name.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah. And last question. What was Fanbyte's game of the year for 2019?
What came out in 2019?
Should have been Paradise Killer, but
well,
it was... It was Hades.
Well,
I think that was a year early.
No.
Yeah. That Paradise Killer did come out last year. It seems like 2 years ago. I know, but it was only last year.
Oh my gosh!
I can't give points, but I almost want to give points for like sympathy for how bad time is.
Yeah. just name a game that came out in 2019.
That's why I'm just trying to think of what
video games that came out in 2019 are like.
Wow.
Uh-huh. Who can remember anything?
Who can remember anything past last week, honestly?
Doom Eternal.
Doom Eternal was last year.
Why is 2019 specifically the like dead zone? Like
was 2019 Outer Wilds, Outer Worlds?
Yes,
Outer Wilds.
Well, Outer Wilds did win it was a candidate for best interior design.
Hitman 2.
That would have been 2018 or 2017.
That was 18.
Other games. So this was a bit of a trick question. I don't think we actually did a Game of the Year award that year.
Yeah, I don't think we did like a hard Game of the Year.
We didn't We did best. We did categories.
Yeah.
So
that was all categories.
Other games that could have won include Disco Elysium.
Oh yeah, that was a good year.
Control
was a big one. Destiny 2 was on a lot of our list that year. Destiny 2 was 2016, but it was on many of our lists, including best real video game as defined by the inclusion of a segment where you're fighting goons on an elevator going
on
up.
Other
games in that category included Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order, Pokemon
Sword
and Shield,
fire.
And Gato Roboto.
See, that was a good year.
It was a good year for games, for real games, which is games where you fight people on elevators. Thank you all for playing. And that's the Fanbyte quiz for today. So we're just trying to build the lore. We're world building, you know?
Yeah.
And I think looking back over the answers and questions and the score, I definitely won.
Yeah.
I'd like to thank you.
For
bringing that to us and expanding the lore for everybody.
No problem. With the quiz sort of, with that out of the way, I do want to move on to a more traditional segment, but with kind of a new twist to it, and it's called Staff Picks. traditionally, Staff Picks is where we talk about a game that we've been playing and sort of just wax poetic on how good it is. We're going to try something a little different today, which is that we're going to join me in my mind palace for a minute. Mm. Funky, you might be too young to remember this, but there was a time when you would go to the store to rent a film or a game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you would just be walking around and you'd have no idea like what any of this stuff was like, because unless you'd read about it in a magazine or your friend had told you it was good, there's no internet. Right. And sometimes, you know, there's like picks, there's like, they put out a little like magazine thing that you get when you came in and it's like, oh, we recommend this. So imagine
bookstores
still do that. Imagine if you will. That I have walked into your video rental emporium and you are trying to sell me on a game that you've been playing because you get commission on the rental. So I don't know, like a quarter or something. And that's how I want to do this. I want to hear your pitch for a game you've been playing. Steven, would you like to go first?
I think I can. I'm trying to remember exactly what a pitch like that might look like, but...
Just tell me why it's good and why I should rent it instead of, I don't know, Secret of Mana or something?
Sure, sure. Okay. Well, in the video game Halo Infinite, which is a real video game that will be coming out for sure this year and not going to get delayed again, I promise. You can drive an ATV into a gravity catapult, launch it across the map, land on another, like jump off midair, land on another guy, throw a grenade at another guy, kill him, and then your Jeep that you launched and killed a man with will fall on your head and kill you again. Which is maybe the funniest thing I've done in a video game all year.
That's good. That's good. That's what I look for in a game, is being able to kill myself in a comical way.
Yeah, but you also kill somebody else at the same time. And now, do you get to the objective or progress the match in any way? No, but that's not what Big Team Battle is about, Merritt. No, Big Team Battle is about big teams. Big teams.
How literally big are these teams?
24 players now.
24?
Yeah, I think it's, I forget if it's 24 total or if, I think it's 24 total players in a match, not necessarily 24 okay, to
but
a team.
Still 12v12?
It's 12v12, and they actually split it up into teams of four on each team as well. So okay. When you start the game, it does the Destiny Crucible thing of just like, you know, control or whatever, mm-hmm. and shows all your guys in your cool armor. When it does that, it only shows you four people because it'll show you like the four people in your fire team, but there are more players on your squad. So it's gotten so big that they need to split it up so that the like cross team chatter presumably doesn't get unbearable.
I see. Now this did look fun. I did watch some of this and it does look fun. I haven't played a Halo game since, well, I played Reach.
That was 2010.
I believe.
Oh, Steven, why?
Well, thanks for that.
Just wanted to let you know that was 11 years ago, Merritt.
That was 11 years ago. It came for free with my Xbox 360.
Ooh.
That and Fable 3, weirdly.
I reviewed
it. Yo, yeah.
Oh, that's a good lineup, Merritt.
It was good. I'm not going to lie.
I reviewed that for my college newspaper in Churchill Hall at NDSU, which was the dorm that I was living in that had black mold growing out of the ceiling right above my face on the bunk bed.
Well,
did the mold influence the review?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Could be worse, right?
This isn't as good as The Last of Us.
Could have been worse. Could have been those nasty flood.
Are
they in this one? Do we know? Are they in this one?
I doubt it. They've moved away from the flood because you kind of kill them in Halo 3 and they've moved over to the Prometheans. No, is that what they're called? Prometheans.
Yeah. The orange dudes with the bugs.
Yeah, they're like bug robots, and they suck. They're like the worst part about Halo.
Yeah,
and yeah. Are they controlled by Cortana now? Is this how the plot goes? Even though she's has a love thing with the chief,
it seems like that was what they were definitely setting up in Halo 5, which has perhaps the worst campaign of any Halo game. And in Halo Infinite, they seem to have just completely moved past that because they kind of realized everybody hated that plot line. And seems like they've just kind of, I wonder, honestly, if it's a thing where this is all explained in a book, because Halo loves to do that ever since Microsoft started publishing it or took over. Half the lore in Halo games now just occurs in books that you've never read.
And I will say that I asked that as a question, even though I did know that was in fact the plot, because I did not play Halo 4 or 5, but I did read, I have read nearly every Halo novel. I said I was one of those people. Like, you wonder why they make books for games. They're for broken people like me.
Yeah, yeah. I used to live that life, Mike, and I don't envy you anymore.
Thank you.
So, I'm glad they moved away from the flood also, because they're very scary.
They're too scary, I scary think. Things. Yeah, I don't think Halo is about scaring spooks and specters and goblins and ghouls. I think it's just
ghosts
about,
and goblins, perhaps.
No, right. It's not ghosts and goblins. Like, Arthur isn't here. It's about the Master Chief.
Yes. And actually, come to think of it, based on what we've seen from the trailers, it's actually the big bads in Halo Infinite are supposed to be the Banished, which I don't know if anybody but me knows who those people are from firsthand experience, because they're the villains from Halo Wars 2.
From firsthand experience?
Yeah. Well, you know, Funke, you know that I'm a veteran. Well, the thing that you didn't know is the war that I fought was against the Covenant.
Oh my God.
I don't want to talk about it. I went through a lot over on Reach.
Yeah.
That's the planet. The Banished are the main villains of Halo Wars 2, which is a game that I love because I love Halo Wars 1 and 2. I think they're some of the best Halo games. Which are RTSs, which says a lot about, probably says more about my taste in video games than anything. It's very funny when you can press the button over and over again that says local units, all units, local units, all units, just over and over again by pressing A. I always found that fun. And they're like, they're basically, at some point, Microsoft realized everybody hates fighting anything that's not the Covenant, but the Covenant are good guys now, or the Covenant is the Covenant, quote unquote, the prophets, the evil, like, religious leaders are dead, and they've been destroyed. So, but they're like, well, people like fighting grunts and Sengeli and all that stuff, so let's come up with a reason for you to continue fighting all of the, like, good Halo bad guys, and that's the Banished. They're like, basically religious extremists that did not go away when the Master Chief sacrificed himself for all of us.
I see.
So they're from the Covenant, though. But
yes, so
they're a splinter group.
The one lead guy is whatever they're brutes, the bigger ones.
Atriox, is that his name?
Yeah, and so like he was like, ah man, everybody became too soft.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we want to do some CrossFit out here in the galaxy? And everyone was like, we love CrossFit out in the galaxy. Yeah. Let's kill anyone who doesn't CrossFit. And that's...
Holy shit.
I mean, that's just CrossFit. Like, that is just how CrossFit works.
Right.
Those, if you don't believe that they're gearing up to just take out everyone else, then you're living
take
in a dream
over
world.
Everything.
Yeah.
By just rolling huge tires over onto everyone.
What are you going to do when they roll up with a huge tire? Nothing.
Also, apparently the brutes have a lore name as well, just like the elites or the Sengeli in Halo. I don't know how to pronounce this, but I'll do my best for everybody. The lead faction or the lead species in the new Banished faction is the Jirohanei.
Wow.
Atriox is a Jirohanei warlord.
Single tier. The Banished. Single tier is dropping right now.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun lore adventures and cool hijinks that remind me of the good old days of Halo. And
Halo Infinite.
And so I'll be able to play through this like with my friend when it comes out.
No,
of course, there's a huge question. Sure, they say the campaign is coming, but is it?
Who knows, Mike? Who can say?
Okay, well, that is maybe that is pulling my interest away a little bit, but
it's really fun.
It does look really like fun.
Multiplayer.
Yeah, wow. Steve and I played a bit over the weekend, and it really just took me back to playing Halo Reach, just with a whole squad of friends on this big ass team and just shooting grenades everywhere. It was like, whoa, we're back in it. Halo's back. It feels improved, but it still has the core that everyone knows and loves.
Yeah, like playing it, my actual biggest problem heading into the campaign is I actually don't want to be Master Chief. I would rather just be my multiplayer character and pick a voice and then, you know, like let me Mass Effect across this whole thing. Because, Master Chief, I love the dude. He's a classic, but he's also like in that basic armor in the green, whereas my character is dope looking.
Mm-hmm. We need some flame decals on Master Chief.
Can we get some flame decals on the Master Chief, please?
That's what they did for Reach, and it worked. It worked great.
Susan, can we get some flame decals?
Yeah, we need some extra on the shoes.
Yeah, great.
Platforms as well. Thank you.
Yeah, because he needs to be taller. I think a taller Master Chief would really sell me on this.
In like big chunky high heels.
In like Yeah, that or like, you know, Hot Topic ass big just like stomping.
The spikes on the side too.
Yeah.
We need an emo Master Chief.
Can we have an emo Master Chief? I don't know if the world's ready for it, but I guess we'll see when Halo Infinite comes out. And my interest is piqued. I'll say that.
There was the one thing I will say about it, like to continue what Funke was saying, like, and then we can move on, I'm sure. But there is an element of this game that does feel like, you know, speaking of like your interest, they've almost backed into weird like Halo 3 and Halo Reach nostalgia in a way that I feel like Halo 4 and 5 did not at all get into. And I think it's partially because people have just not had a game quite like this in a very long time. And I feel like they stand a good chance of drawing in a lot of people who have fallen off of Halo with this one. But at the same time, it also seems like this game is kind of a mess in even the technical alpha that we were playing or whatever. It's being called Test Flight. I think it's what
the
it's
Test Flight.
It's very buggy. So,
like, well, baby birds do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's kind of stumbling and trying to take flight.
You push the bird out of the nest, and they say, where are you going, little bird? And he says, to give the Covenant back their bomb.
Yeah.
Puts on sunglasses.
And then the music plays from the show, and we all love it. Mm-hmm. Well, that does sound good, but I only have enough pocket change to rent one video game this week at the magical, mystical video game Emporium. So, Funke, what's your pick for this week?
I know what you should rent. Okay.
Hit me with that.
So first off, I just want to know your taste as a gamer. Do you like sand?
I mean, I love sand. I love how grainy it is and how it gets everywhere. I think it's really cool. Everywhere. Yeah.
Well, perfect. In this game, you'll be on a bike in the sand, driving, getting the sand everywhere. You get the dust trails behind you, and you're going to look open at the open sunset, and this music's going to come crescendo in, and you're going to be playing Sable for the PC.
Wow, I did not think that didn't go where I thought it was going to go.
Where did you think it was going to go?
I had no idea. I thought maybe like an extreme sports kind of thing, but tell me about Sable.
Sable is one of the chillest games I've played recently. It's between that and Jet Far Shore. But yeah, it feels like Breath of the Wild very heavily. I noticed that at the start, but as I'm progressing, I'm really getting that vibe of just the way they build the world and the communities there. It's really interesting because you build your bike and then you go off into the distance and it doesn't tell you what to do at all. It's just like go on your adventure, and you're tasked with finding masks and stuff, but you can go about that however you want. And you can be a person that builds bikes, a person that sells merchandise, and like bike apparatuses. But it's really cool how nonlinear it is, and it's the perfect game to just relax and like go to sleep with. Like, I've been playing it before I go to sleep and when I wake up, and it really just calms me down after the stressful games of the daytime.
Yeah, kind of a like a lower energy kind of game,
like a lower energy, no combat, at least from what I've seen. It doesn't look like any fighting. Just like biking around, doing some problem solving, picking up rocks.
Picking up rocks?
Yeah. Picking up rocks, and you can throw them. So if that ever interested you in real life and you couldn't pick up a giant rock, you can do it in this game.
Okay, well, because here's the thing about picking up rocks and throwing them is, like, I feel like as a kid, that's something that I did. But as an adult, to pick up and throw a rock is, like, one of those behaviors that you can't really do. People will, you know, call the police or...
Society doesn't like it.
Society... We live in a society, and society doesn't like it when you pick up rocks and throw them around. So it's cool that, like, in the fantasy world of a video game that I could do that.
Yeah. It's really chill. And, yeah, the part I'm having the most fun with so far is just tricking out my sick bike. I got it looking like a giant beetle right now.
Wow.
It has mandibles on the side. When the jets go above the sand, it moves its little mandibles. It's like, I love this. I love the sand. And you can, like, change the tints and stuff. It's a really fun biking simulator.
That's now, is it a bike? Is it a hover bike or is it a?
It's a hover bike.
Okay. So what?
We're in the future.
We're in the future. The future is dry. What is
it? I haven't seen any water.
How does it feel to ride the bike compared to, say, driving the little ghost bike in Halo?
Driving the ghost?
Yeah.
It feels honestly kind of similar, except the ghost is a killing machine designed for war, whereas this speeder you're on in Sable is more of a, hey, go on an adventure, child. This is your coming of age moment. Make it whatever you want it to be.
I actually have a question as somebody who played the demo. That initial, like, bike that you get at the very beginning of that demo is kind of like dirt. Junky and crappy and dirt. Yeah. Does it get better? Do you get a better bike?
Yeah. So right after you go and do the events of the demo, which I won't spoil, it's a nice little moment, but you can get, you build your own bike and it kind of forms its own name around it. And from there you can customize each part from the jet at the back to the front and to the middle part. And you can, mix and match them. Mm. I got some beetle stuff, and I also tinted my regular stuff green so it looks more beetle-like, even though it's not from the same line. There's a lot of fun fashion stuff as well. The whole crux of the game is you're going through this coming-of-age event, and by the end of it, you're going to decide what mask most represents you as a character and you as a person in this world. So right now, I'm kind of shopping different... tribes and stuff, like who I'm vibing with the most, what their values are, and the different jobs, like the people who build the machines and who sell parts and who are community leaders. So yeah, it's just a lot of talking and seeing these characters. The dialogue is well written.
Is it open world actually? Like, or yeah. Are you moving from zone to zone? Okay, cool.
It's completely open world. People are talking about villages that I have not seen yet. And I think I can just go and explore there.
Huh.
But I've also just been doing tasks for people. It's fun to run around and be like, hey, I enjoy this world so much. I'm not usually a side quester, but I enjoy this world so much that I'm willing to be, hey, do you want me to clear out those three beetles that are messing you up? I'll do that for you because I like the village you've made here.
Are you transporting things? Is this is this like a secret trucking game? Because if so, I might be into this.
Is this a trucking game? I wish it was.
Damn.
Where I'm at, I don't want to say it's not because I don't know. I haven't beat the game yet. But where I'm at, no, it's more of a task. There's something over there that you need to go do. Hop on your bike, go there, do it, come back. Kind of deal.
So not like like SnowRunner or MudRunner or Death Stranding or anything like that.
No. There's walking, and I did lose my bike for a while and walk around. It's not as fun, I will say that, because the areas are very large and very much built for biking. So,
How did you lose your bike?
How did I lose my bike? I crashed it into a wall. And it disappeared in front of me.
Oh.
And then I didn't realize that there's like a, what's it called? A a legend for your compass. And one of those things shows where your bike is. And it was, it kind of just glitched and fell into a cave. So I just walked over to that cave and then I found it later. But I did a bit of walking. One of the huge draws is the soundtrack from Japanese Breakfast. It, after playing a long session yesterday, I just opened up Spotify, turned that thing on, just let it blast. It is so fitting to the world of Sable. I'm shocked at how just how well it manages to pull you in. It's really good at that.
I need to play I'm going to add this to my list, I think.
Please, please play it before the end of the year. It's also only, I think, 8 hours or so.
Oh, as opposed to the other game you told me to play before the end of the year, which is about 57, I think, for Eastward. Okay.
Yes. So, I mean, that one's way, this one's easier to sell.
okay.
Also, Paul is asking me why, or have you tried not crashing the bike? I don't know how to drive. This is, it's all new for me. I'm going as hard as I can and as fast as I can, so I don't know how to stop. That's my answer to that.
Well, that sounds cool. Yeah. Okay. I could be into that. I could be into like a chill kind of kind of desert sort of thing. Got some riding some bikes. If I maybe this weekend I don't feel like being in shooting the alien mans. Maybe I just want to like hang out or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's that kind of. Yeah, anti just brrr, which is a lot of what I've been playing with the shooters that I've been playing, like Halo Infinite and Valorant. Where Sable is just a relaxing, cool sand journey.
Nice.
Cool. Well, okay. Well, now I have two choices. But Mike, what have you got for me?
Well, I mean, we mentioned power fantasies in there. And I can't talk about the game that I've actually been playing, so I'm playing another one that, I mean, what's more powerful a fantasy than being a colonizer?
Okay. I didn't go where I thought it was going. I'm actually relieved that you said that, because I thought you were going a different road.
So the other game that I've been playing... is New World, Amazon's colonizer MMO, which is not actually that.
Not anymore. Even
though, now, wait, right, can not you explain anymore. That to me? Because I haven't been following this too closely, and as a consumer, I'm curious about what this means.
So New World takes place in a fictional, magical semi-reality, and... a bunch of people find a brand new island and they are exploring it and exploiting it. There are no natives on the island, though. Like, they're gone. But all the armor is definitely inspired by pilgrims and Spanish conquistadors.
Uh-huh.
Are you serious?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. So it's all inspired by all of that stuff, but they took out any existing natives on this Eldritch Evil Island. So
Funke, before this game came out, the original pitch that they were showing for this game was you are like fantasy conquistadors coming to like fantasy native island, like fake America in indigenous times and killing everybody. That was the original version of the game. And then there was backlash against it.
I assumed since the backlash that they would have changed that, because I haven't seen actual gameplay of New World. I've only seen the loading screen and the character creator.
So they took away the natives. There are no natives on the island.
Okay.
To take over, but all of the armor and stuff is 100%. There was another game similar to this, which did have its own natives, and that was Greedfall, which I think was last year.
Yeah, that's like a Dragon Age-like.
Yes, which was a Dragon Age-style single-player RPG, which did have natives. New World, on the way to this launch version, which just came out, decided, let's take the natives out. And this is, I think, like the third or fourth version of the game, because the original game that they were trying out on Alpha was supposed to be a full loot PvP MMO.
Huh.
Everyone hated that because some people think they're hardcore, but no one's actually hardcore. So now they've sort of back ended it into a mostly single player action RPG MMO thing.
Now they definitely have a lot of
With like group PvP like realm, like so you join into like large guilds. I forget what the actual term in the game is, but then those guilds, Asheron's Call or Dark Ages of Camelot style, like try to take over specific regions.
Now, sorry, what was that game you just referenced?
The Dark one Ages before of Camelot? Greedfall.
Yeah. Dark Ages of Camelot.
Oh, Dark Ages of Camelot. Yes, that's a very, very old MMO.
Old school.
I've played MMOs for a very long time.
So. Yeah, this game is celebrates its, well, I assume it's dead now, so, but it came out on October 9th in 2001.
Yes.
I thought you were referencing the Dark Ages of Camelot.
The actual.
Okay. Why do you gotta make me feel so old?
I'm sorry.
I did want to ask Mike, like, so this game, now that they've kind of pivoted about three or four times, they definitely have like a ton of fun, new, original single player content to kind of fill that gap. Now that there's not any PvP stuff, you've definitely got like original quests that are like not just going around killing wolves and skinning them and like, oh, got to kill eight boars or whatever. It's definitely not just a bunch of that, right?
So you definitely get the feeling that whatever writers they hired or narrative designers, they hired late into the process.
Uh-huh.
And those folks really thought the game would launch and then they'd be out of a job. So now that it has done quite well on the streaming, who knows how much of a long trail that has. Like on Steam, it's one of the biggest games ever. I think in top five in like terms of concurrent players, period, now, like all time.
Why is that? Is that just because people want a new MMO and there hasn't been like a tradition? Is this just a traditional MMO?
Yeah, essentially. That has been my and Steven's ultimate thesis.
Is there no building kind of stuff in this? Because what about something like Valheim? Wasn't that
pretty big?
There's interior
decoration.
Yeah. Right.
Houses.
And there's some building, but that's all focused on the guilds or whatever they're called. So, like, it's a game that eventually you're meant to join up with other players.
I see. So is a traditional MMO and not, like, a survival sandbox kind of thing.
Correct.
I see.
It is 100% a traditional MMO where you're at a hub town, you grab quests. Quests send you to a thing or a dungeon. You kill the things until they are all dead. And then you come back and they go, you did great job.
Now, I guess my question is, why would I want to play an MMO, a new MMO, in that you, I have to say, have been describing in some sort of middling ways. Why do I want to play this game?
Well, I'd say the colonizer gene runs strong in all of us. And sometimes you need to tap into that. A new world is your only proxy.
Now, who's all of us?
Doing some significant work. Now, if you are just suggesting that I may, in particular, I mean, I don't know, maybe. So many other games offer that in maybe a less direct way.
It is quite a choice that my character is definitely a black dude and looks like me, but it definitely wears the regalia. So, I mean, you know, there's a little hotep there, but, you know, it is what it is.
Jesus Christ.
I've seen a lot of Twitch streamers pick up this game, even ones that, like, play very specific games, like only play League or only play Valorant. So I'm kind of shocked that people are just, I guess, trying to explore what it is.
There is part of, again, like people just like want a full online thing, like MMO to play. But also Twitch is owned by Amazon.
Yes.
So
there's been a huge blitz.
And New World is an Amazon Games title. Of the three that they announced, Crucible, Breakaway, and New World, this is the only one that actually came launched.
So they're cashing out on this. They have people streaming the game they made on the platform they own.
That's vertical integration.
Yes.
Good God.
It's powerful too, because like Final Fantasy 14 is going through a huge influx of players right now, and part of that has been a lot of WoW streamers jumping ship. Like a lot of WoW streamers like
from
that game to Final Fantasy 14 and took their audience with them.
Yep.
And so, now there's this sort of new contender, because it really did seem like that those were the two sort of, like, I mean, obviously there are a lot of free-to-play MMOs that that have huge audiences, but people just don't talk about them very much. And WoW and Final Fantasy really seemed like the two sort of titans. And Mike, do you think New World is going to stick around?
Right now, the at least what looks to be the end game is mostly that guild versus guild PvP stuff. And my guess is they have to work very hard with the writers and narrative designers to craft like brand new lore and content to give that really a long tail outside of the PvP. So I feel like it's going to fall off, but I think it'll take a couple of months.
I mean, Final Fantasy 14 gets new, like a new expansion next month, right? Like Endwalker is out next month. And I think like New World is in this pocket right now where it's a new release. It's actually new content. Whereas Final Fantasy 14 is about to get that, and it's like, I think there's an expiration date on the massive hype for this game, because like a lot of people jump ship to Final Fantasy 14 over the summer, but there hasn't been anything like new in a while for that game, but we're about to like be hit with like a huge update.
Yeah, yes. And for a couple of months, it'll take a couple of months for it to sort of calcify. So the trick also with the big streamers is the big streamers who are streaming the game are popular, so they create their own guilds, and then people join them to
then
be...
Then their viewers want to play and be in the guild with their streamer.
Right, so essentially it'll sort of calcify when maybe the streamers drop off, or the more popular and successful ones stick with the game while the others move on to something else.
The money dries up and they're not getting paid to stream it necessarily that week anymore.
So it's I think it'll fall off, but it is, I think, a sign to at least some others in the industry. Just like there's still you can tap into this. We had some years after WoW where everyone was trying to be the WoW killer and everyone walked away from it completely. And this is like a sign like, maybe, you know, even if Destiny 2 and The Division 2 weren't already that.
Well, WoW had like, WoW was Fortnite before Fortnite was Fortnite, in the sense of like, you had a bunch of these contenders to the WoW throne popping up, and then Blizzard would just look at those games and say like, oh, that's a good idea, and then they just put it in their game. Like, I remember the first big example where I ever noticed that happening was Warhammer Online, like Age of Sigmar. They had public quests, and that was like one of their huge selling points for that game. And then like 2 weeks after that game came out, WoW just added that, like this idea that you could just like walk into, and Final Fantasy has it as well. It's called Fates in that game, where, oh, an event is just happening for 15 minutes here and everybody can congregate into this one area. Don't have to accept a quest from an NPC. You just jump in, start killing these guys, and you get some rewards. And then that was just a thing then. Like, from then on, it just became that. So, like, all these new contenders would come out, and then WoW would just absorb all of their best ideas, and you couldn't get a foothold because it was just too big. And, yeah, like you and I, Mike, were talking about earlier, eventually publishers... that we see this happen with like different genres all the time. We just saw it. There was, I think it was maybe Lorne Lanning from Oddworld Inhabitants was talking about, like, you would go to publishers right when Fortnite was getting huge, and like in March of that year, they were like, you better have a battle royale idea for me. And then by June, they were like, you better not be talking to me about any fucking battle royales right now. And that happened with MMOs, where it was like, we got to get in on this train. And then the second it became clear that it was not popular or was not possible, they immediately just did the exact opposite. They did a 180, and we haven't had big MMOs coming out since, like that in traditional style.
Right. So this is, I guess, it's sort of a novelty for a lot of people. I would also imagine that this is a lot of people, the first MMO that has launched, the first big one in a lot of people's adult lives at this point too, because WoW has been around for 20 years or so. Final Fantasy, I mean, it's been around for a while, at least like a decade, right?
Yep. Yeah, like 10 or so.
Yeah, it's like a decade.
So yeah, this for many people may be the first thing where they could feel like they're getting in on the ground floor of something. And that is an attractive prospect, I think, of just like, I don't have to...
MMOs, yeah.
Yeah, and even, yeah, because when I tell people about Destiny, they're like, well, do I have to do this? And I'm like, well, yeah, it's hard. So I understand. I understand. So I'm going to think of some thinking. I'm holding these three game cases for my home video game console of one is an MMO, one is an indie game, and one is a game that is not out yet. But I still have a case of it in my hand because it's a magical game store.
You should look under the copy of Sable I gave to you.
What's underneath it?
It's a piece of candy.
Whoa.
Wow, bribery.
Is that Fruit Stripe gum? Oh my God. I haven't had that in ages. Wow.
Favorite classic piece of candy.
Wow. That's great. Fruit Stripe gum is great for like 2 seconds and then the flavor is totally gone and you're just chewing rubber. But I think I might pick Sable this week just because it is, I feel like, the most feasible game for me to play. So I'm going to give Funke a few points for that. I am going to give Mike some points for suggesting that I would enjoy colonial fantasy because that was very funny to me. And I'm going to give Steven some points for telling me about Halo because I love thinking about 2010 and Halo Reach and different time.
That's good because I need to start making up some points on the back end.
Well, I'm going to give you a chance to make up some points right now, actually, because this is all part of my plan. I know it wouldn't be fair otherwise. We're going to do something called a Manga Minute, which...
Whoa!
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Now, I didn't tell you to prepare for this.
No!
So I'm going to give you a few seconds to compose yourself and to pick a manga that you have been reading and... And tell us about it and tell us about why it's so great. And you will only have 60 seconds to do this. So whenever you're ready, let me know and I will start the clock.
Okay. I think there's one I haven't talked about in a good while.
If you've talked about it on stream, that's fine.
That doesn't count.
Yeah.
That's Legends canon.
Yes. That's extended universe. Yeah, so just let me know, and we'll hit the button.
Okay, I think I got it.
Okay, and 3, 2, 1, go.
So there's this really fantastic series that does not get translated nearly fast enough called Golden Kamuy that is a series about early 1800s, mid-1800s, I forget exactly, Japanese soldiers after the Russo-Japanese War in... Hokkaido of Japan. They ended up like getting into this basically mission where they need to find these tattooed prisoners who are escaped all across the country that have the map to a large pile of gold that they need to get to. Anyway, it's great. That's the basic premise of it. It is very good right now because it's gotten caught up to in the manga up to where the anime has been for a little while. So there's new stuff to be reading in it that is not currently available to watch on like Crunchyroll or anything like that. So people should get into it now and kind of get ahead of the curve because there's a really great arc in there right now where Tsukimoto, the main character, who's this immortal guy, he calls himself immortal, but he's not actually, has to basically jump in front of a really shitty man who looks like a cat named Ogata, who gets shot in the eye with a poison arrow, and he's...
Wow. Now I'm like, well, what happens after he gets shot in the eye with a poison arrow? And
it's good!
I guess if I want to know, I'd have to read it.
I would like to point out that Tsukimoto the Immortal doesn't necessarily call himself the Immortal. People call him the Immortal because he keeps almost dying and then surviving it.
Wow.
Well, that's pretty sick.
He does eventually get to a point where, like, it gets, like, that is the legend around him. I'm sorry, I'm going over time, aren't I?
Well, technically, I'll allow it for a second, because okay. I am curious.
He's like, but so that keeps happening, and he keeps like, he's like, ah, that's not me or whatever. But then as the story progresses, it definitely gets to a point where when he's in situations of danger, he starts to like try to hype himself up by leaning into the legend that people have built around him. So like, I'm the immortal Sugimoto, and like punches a guy. It's also like a very, all the, basically all the,
it's very the, gay. It's gay,
it's really gay. It's incredibly gay. The author of the series was asked in an interview, like, what is the main thing you want people to take away from Golden Kamuy? He said, the beautiful naked bodies of men. So like the main villain, one of the kind of main faction leaders, is a guy named Lieutenant Tsurumi, whose whole thing is that he's like trying to create outer heaven in Hokkaido in the 1800s Japan. And the way he's trying to make outer heaven is that he has seduced all of his different sergeants and big name men in the 7th Division of the Japanese Army. And the only person who realizes that they're like, he's manipulating them all is Ogata, who is like very heavily coded to be asexual. It's never like expressly stated, but there's an issue where they all get high on aphrodisiac otter meat.
Of course.
I hate when that issue arises.
That's so uncomfortable whenever
naked wrestling.
Yeah. And they all start getting naked and like blushing at each other and saying like, let's wrestle. And they just get like oily and wrestle and throw each other around. The only person who doesn't get horny for all the others is Ogata. He just passes out when the aphrodisiac turns on.
Wow.
But there's like a scene where like Tsurumi, there's a flashback. Tsurumi puts his hand on Ogata's knee and like you hear Ogata's internal monologue and he says, ah, so that's your game. And he figures out that he's seducing all of his
men. I love the idea of someone, of a hero whose sort of ability to sort of save the world is premised on not being horny.
Oh, Ogata's not a hero. Ogata is his own kind of bastard.
Okay.
Yeah, he's the Sasuke. He's the fan favorite, amoral guy.
But he is
edgy on the side.
Yeah.
That sounds
he's a sniper.
Pretty cool. And it's so good. I might check it out. So yeah, I have some points for that.
Thank you.
You know what? Take some points. Yeah, Chewy. Great, well, don't eat your points because then we can't
count them.
Don't eat them because then we can't count them at the end of the episode.
Fuck.
I can't eat the points. Well, one last thing. yeah, I'm not giving you more. I mean, if you ate them, they're gone. So, I mean, I hope you enjoyed them. But
Are you sure? Sorry,
you're saying?
Okay. Well. I have one last thing that I want to spring on you all before we wrap. Do y'all know what a Saturn return is?
No.
A Saturn return is something in astrology when the planet Saturn returns to the same place that it occupied at the moment that you were born. And that typically happens in your late 20s, early 30s, often happens around 27. And that has nothing to do with the segment, but the segment is called Saturn Return because I'm going to give you a list of names of Sega Saturn games because I've been enjoying my Sega Saturn lately. And I hope everyone else is enjoying their state-appointed Sega Saturn as well. And you're going to tell me if it's a real game or if I made it up.
This is going to be so fun.
I love this.
And we're just going to go through a bunch of these. And it's just an opportunity to get some points. And I think everyone can vote. And then I will reveal the truth. So you don't need to feel like you need to yell out or anything.
Perfect.
All right. So let's get started. The first one is Blam! Machine Head.
Wait. Can I ask a question?
You can.
When did the Saturn release?
Oh my god. Also, please don't look these up.
I
believe, released in 1994?
I just want to get the naming generation in my
head.
It's
mid-90s is what you're sort mid-90s. Of in the neighborhood of.
That fits.
I'm gonna say yes.
You're gonna say yes, it's real, or yes, it's made up?
Yes, it's real.
Real.
It sounds like a game that would have come out in Japan and never in English, so I'm going to say yes.
I'm going to say no. It can't be named that. Blame Machine Head.
It is real. Blam! Exclamation mark Machine Head is a real Saturn game. I believe it also came out on the PlayStation, but I could be wrong.
Did it come out in English?
I believe it did. I believe it was a Western game, but I may be wrong. Wow. Our next one is D.
Oh, that's real.
Just the letter? Real.
Just the letter D.
Yeah. Yes.
It is real. Yes. Yeah.
I'm familiar with D.
It's one of the earliest survival horror games, inspired some of the later Resident Evil titles. So, very cool. Bug 3. Bugging out.
No.
Bug 3 : bugging out. Mm-hmm. I feel like bug 2 would be named bugging out.
That's a good point, Funky. Smart.
So I want to believe this is, I think it's fake. No.
Well, I have some news for all of you, which is that it is fake. There was no third bug game.
I was about to say.
And the sequel to Bug was called Bug 2, Bug T-O-O.
Okay.
That doesn't make sense.
That doesn't make any sense. But then again, neither does Bug. So, Legend of Cowboys.
Real.
That's also fake. No. It's gotta be.
No, it's fake.
That sadly is fake.
Someone make that game.
Someone make Legend of Cowboys, please. Frank Thomas's Big Hurt Baseball.
Real.
No way, that's real. Fake.
That's real, probably.
That is real. That's a real game. I don't know who Frank Thomas is. If you do, please write us in and let us know. Funky Head Boxers.
Real.
Fake.
Real.
Fake.
That is real.
Yeah!
That is real.
I just wanted that one to be real.
Last Bronx.
Real.
Fake.
That sounds real. Real.
Correct. That is real. It's a beat-em-up game on the Sega Saturn. Radically Rad Racers.
Fake. They can't say radical twice. Like, rad...
They can't?
They could in the 90s.
It was the 90s. I mean...
I feel like they would have had some restraints, like a cap. A rad cap.
I'm going to say fake, but say it fake feels too. Real.
I did make that one up. That is fake, but it seems like it should be real, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The Lost Vikings 2, Norse by Norsewest.
Real.
It's got to be.
That is real. Can you believe that that is the subtitle of The Lost Vikings 2, Norse by Norse West? Unbelievable.
Someone fought so hard to get that.
Right. No, you don't get it. It's a Hitchcock reference. Mansion of Hidden Souls.
Mm. Real.
Fake?
I
feel like there were too many other... Oh.
Yeah, I'm going to go with fake.
That one is real.
Yes!
Don't know what that's about, but it's presumably a house with some souls hidden inside of it. Mr. Bones!
Real.
Fake.
That is real. Mr. Bones is real.
What is that?
It, in many ways, is a predecessor and precursor to Spookware, because it is a game about skeletons doing mini games and stuff, and... actually, it's supposed to be pretty fun. Sick. So I want to check out Mr. Bones sometime. Minnesota Fats, Pool Legend.
Real.
With Fats.
That is very real. did anyone ever rent a pool game for any of their video game consoles?
I owned a pool game for Super Nintendo.
Wow. Now, was that a gift or did you choose that?
I think it was a game that my dad probably bought more or less for himself.
Yes, correct. I see. Ninth?
I just played it on Game Pigeon. Game Pigeon. Like on iPhone.
What?
Yeah.
Like the iPhone's game app?
I don't
game
know.
Pigeon?
Game Pigeon. I don't know you what don't that know is. That sounds like
I'm
you made
say,
it up.
Merit, I'm going to say that,
that one. That's fake. That one's fake. You made that one up. Ninth Ascension.
Real.
Real? It sounds wizard familiar. Game.
It's a wizard
that one
game.
Is fake. I made that one up.
Wow.
I'm just really good at making up mid-90s Saturn games.
In your head, what kind of game was that?
That's Ninth like Ascension. A third person... Yeah, I'm probably just basing this on the Super Nintendo game that's seventh something, but I think that's like you're walking around an overworld and you're like a wizard and you're trying to acquire different potions and scrolls and stuff to go sort up a like tower.
A dark stone like.
Yeah. Yeah.
Japanese Ultima.
Yes, yes, exactly. All right, just a few more. Scud, the disposable Real. Assassin.
That's a real thing. I don't know if it was a Saturn game or not.
That's good. Real.
That was a comic book. Real?
Wrong with real.
The Disposable Assassin. Mm-hmm. Sounds like garbage. Like
yeah, he's a trash man. He's a trash man. So
this is disgusting. I'll go real. Real.
You're all correct. It is real. It is a game based on a comic about an assassin who has a missile for a head, I want to say.
Yeah, he's like a little green guy.
He's a little green guy with a bomb for a head.
And the name is from, of course, the missile.
The Scud missile, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Sexy Parodius.
Real.
Wait, sorry, what is the name
Sexy
again?
Sexy Parodius.
Fake.
Fake.
That one is what? Real. That is
Y'all
real.
You don't know Sexy Parodius?
Parodius is... Konami's parody series of the Gradius series, and Sexy Parodius is indeed a game.
Hmm.
All right, two more. And the score is pretty close at this point, so it's anyone's game. Neon Genesis Evangelion, Girlfriend of Steel.
Real.
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 That one is in fact real.
That yes. is the Neon Genesis Evangelion dating game.
That is right, yes.
I'm familiar with that one as well.
Why is it named like that? Girlfriend of Steel.
You know, because you're dating a giant robot. Who is his mom? Yeah. Well, he could be dating a different one. It doesn't have to be that one that's his mom.
Yeah, that's true.
Last one for you. And it's just one word. Zoop. Zoop.
Fake.
Real, real.
Zoop.
Z-O-O-P?
Zoop.
Yep.
Real.
Real.
So two reals and one fake?
Yep.
Well, Zoop is real and strong and my friend. Zoop was a puzzle game that had a huge marketing push in the mid-90s that was on basically everything. I still don't know how to play it or what it is or how it works, but I definitely saw ads for it everywhere. So this is kind of, I did not expect this to happen, but we have a tie.
Wow.
No way.
We have a tie. Yeah. I've been keeping a running tally of the points and of the very real points that I have assigned. And this is a tie. It's a three-way tie.
Three-way oh tie.
Three-way tie. Yeah. So I don't know what to do because time to squid game, I guess, because the prize for winning was going to be that you get to soapbox about your thing that I asked you to come up with beforehand for an uninterrupted minute. And but you all won or you all lost, depending on your perspective.
Well, Merritt, you've just you could break out that copy of Minnesota Fats that you have, break a pool cue in half, throw it into the room, and say we're going to have tryouts, and then you kind of let us
tryouts.
I could say that. Tell you what, everybody wins. Just this once, everybody wins. Doctor Who voice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Are you my mommy?
Best one, Christopher.
It's a good one.
Christopher Eccleston, best one. So Why don't you all, in turn, to wrap up the show, just tell me the thing that you wanted to recommend. And that could be basically anything. It could be a movie. I asked you to come up with something that is possibly unpopular, but that you really love, like a weird snack or a movie that a lot of people don't like that you do. So let's just, everyone gets to do one today, because this is unprecedented in the one day history of this format. Funke, would you like to go first?
Yeah, absolutely. I was scrambling for a thing, but I have facial spray with aloe, cucumber, and green tea. Ooh. Everyone needs to get on this. I feel like it is just refreshing. I use it when I wake up.
Yeah.
Before I go to sleep. It gets your skin all dewy and nice. Not too wet, not too dry, but that perfect middle ground that everyone is searching for. And I just got on this and I could not live without it already. So
that sounds so nice.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds great. I'm gonna look this
up. Refreshing.
Yeah, I want to spray my face. Like a cat? Like, no.
Yeah, but it's yes. But you want yes. It at the end of the day. It's a treat.
Right, but then you could...
Yeah, should I spray my cat's face?
But you could spray yourself, no. You know, but here's the thing, like, when something is... you could give yourself reinforcement, right? Like, actually, that is the opposite of reinforcement, I think. That would be reinforcing you to think bad things, because if you sprayed yourself whenever you did that, you'd feel like, oh, if I think something bad, then I get a refreshing treat.
Yeah, that's how you turn into a supervillain, though. If that's what you want to do.
Yeah. So if you want to train yourself to become a supervillain, just spray yourself in the face. Steven, what's your thing?
I, right before I moved, did a rewatch of a not great Gundam series called Gundam Wing, that people, I think, loved when they were growing up because it was on Toonami, and then kind of came away from and started like disliking again. But I'm here to say once again, it's got some stuff worth watching it for. Not the story or the characters or kind of anything like that, but it's like, it's just a vibe. It's just got a good mood to it where it's like just these very, thin, very pretty boys, killing each other in war machines a lot, and screaming. And I think that's, you know, worth something. There's just an aesthetic to it that feels extremely good for the 90s that I think that in this now wave of 90s nostalgia, we kind of need to look back on that part.
I think it could come back because they're very, like, all of the Gundam pilots are pretty boys, and they're very dumb in the same way that Riverdale is dumb now.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's Riverdale with robots.
I want to watch.
Now, there was nothing cooler in the early 2000s to a lot of people than Duo Maxwell and his Death Scythe Gundam.
Death Scythe, yeah. Because that was my first Gundam model.
It was edgy. It was hardcore. It was very much of the times. That graced so many forum signatures and avatars at the time. And
I'll say this about that show too. Troa probably a close second, because Troa like does dress up like a clown and ask for people to throw knives at his face, which is very funny to watch.
Now he has the pointy hair.
Yeah, he's kind of long pointy hair that goes over one side of his face.
How do you feel about Char?
Char's not in that one. There's a Char clone.
Oh, sorry, I mean in general.
There's always a Char.
Oh, Char? I love Char.
There's always a Gundam.
Speaking of gay characters in manga, anime type stuff, Char is one of the, I think, the goats.
Icon. Well, Mike, to close us out, what's your thing?
I technically have two that I'll run through very quickly. It is the month of horror. I, of course, do 31 days of horror every year, where we watch good, middling and very bad horror movies, one every day, sometimes multiple in a day. So first is A Haunting at Silver Falls, which is two films that you can find on Tubi, the streaming service that no one cares about.
Surprisingly good. Yeah.
Yeah. A Haunting at Silver Falls is a bad, bad, no-budget horror movie that tries to take itself entirely too seriously. Like, The ghosts in this case are two young girls who are clearly just two actresses with sort of white and black face paint makeup that they sort of, you know, filtered out vaguely with After Effects. It's very, very bad, but they are both hilarious. And then the second is Hell House LLC, which is a trilogy of horror movies. They are sort of found footage movies. The first one is decent. It's like a semi-decent found footage horror movie about people that try to put on a haunted house in a house that's actually haunted, and it goes very badly for them. And then the second one is absolute trash. And then the third one, somehow they got to a third one. They decided, well, you know, we did middling and then absolute trash. Why don't we expand the mythology? And it is a train wreck. It is a magnificent train wreck of a film. So
I love that. Not actually watching it, but I do love, I on my trip back from Providence, read the plot synopses for every single Nightmare on Elm Street movie. And I do love how any horror franchise that gets past like two movies always just has to like double down on the lore and the mythology. And like, why is Freddy Krueger a bad guy? Why? Where does he get his magics?
Yeah. So Hell House, I'm shocked they got to the third, but it plays in regions that they should not play in at all with their budget. And it's amazing.
Love it. Love a movie that shoots for the stars and lands in the fucking trash. Well, that's the end of the show for this week. And again, three-way tie. So congrats to all the winners. We are all winners here on Channel F and a Fanbyte. And if you enjoy the show, please tell your friends and rate and review us on iTunes. It really does help us out. We love it. We love you. We love you like Fresca, baby. Yeah, you can follow us on Twitter at Fanbyte Media. You can follow Stephen on Twitter at Stephen Strong. You can follow Mike on Twitter at Automatic Zen. And you can follow Funke on Twitter at Funke Fly. Our producer, Paul, is at Polly Meyer. And I'm at Merrick K. And until next week.
See you later. Happy animals.
Happy animals, and keep that dial tuned to Channel F.
Hey everyone, it's John Warren from Fanbyte. The world of games and entertainment can be a lot to try to keep up with, but don't worry, I've got you covered. Join me, the Fanbyte crew, and our friends from around the industry as we break down the week's biggest headlines on Thanks for the Knowledge, our weekly video game news podcast. Plus, get a look at the week ahead so you don't miss upcoming game releases, events, and much more. Thanks for the Knowledge is available at fanbyte.com/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. You can thank us later.